Welcome again to Great Resolutions. Today we're covering our fourth program on this podcast, and today we're going to focus on a special topic which we've entitled The Fire of the Gospel. And my name is Marty Robert, and with me again today is Bill Lawson. And we feel that this program is really an enjoyable one to see something more in particular about the effectiveness of gospel preaching. And Bill, I think this is something that probably you've considered, I've considered many times. I think most believers in our lifetime of preaching the gospel, we always consider how can we become more effective. And maybe we've asked many questions. Do we need more of the Spirit? Should we have more joy? Do we need more training in our speaking? Or maybe it's we need to plan more and have better methods. And so I think we all search to become more effective in the gospel preaching. But today, this example of our brother, in particular, we're talking about a brother named James McKendrick, and his testimony really shows us something quite on the contrary, that it's not a matter of all these other things. It's really just very simply a matter of having a intimate concern or burden for our fellow man, having a fire of the gospel. So I'm sure you have considered this some also, Bill.
Yes, that's true, Marty. Of course, when I was saved at a very young age, at the age of 16, right away, the Christians that I met with, they had this somewhat of this gospel fire, and they encouraged me right on, immediately to begin to testify of my salvation of Christ before others. And I was brought into that at a very young age. They would even take us down to the local jail and have us preach the gospel to the juvenile delinquents. So I got quite a taste. And they even had me speak one time to the businessmen's, organization to give my public testimony before a number of adults, because I was pretty stage fright, but to preach the gospel. So this thing is a big thing, and it was part of my life when I was first a believer. And right away when I got saved, I wanted to bring all of my friends, preach the gospel to all of my high school friends, to my biology teacher. Of course, I got a lot of static, but still, I could never forget those early days of preaching the gospel.
Well, of course, I think, Bill, you and I could both testify that over the years we've seen that this has also become a source of leaven that's been brought into the gospel preaching among believers in this desire to be effective. And it's very easy to get away from the simple way of just praying and relying on the Spirit and just speaking simply the Word of God. And so we know over the years other ways of excitement and rock music and all kinds of things have brought in to leaven the gospel. So I think our brother's testimony here today, James McKendrick, really shows us that those who preach the gospel in a pure way can really be under the Lord's blessing.
That's true, Marty. James McKendrick, of course, even though he was in the 1870s, 1880s, 1890s, turn of the century, not very famous, outwardly famous or gifted, but he had what Brother Watchman Nee called the spirit of the gospel. Of course, he had some gift, but Brother Watchman Nee, when Brother Nee, wrote his preface he did an introduction to McKendrick's book I have on McKendrick, right, called Seen and Heard. And in Watchman Nee's introduction, he talked about the matter of the spirit of the gospel that every, right, believer should have. Not every believer has the gift of the gospel, but every believer surely should exercise the spirit, small s, the spirit of the gospel.
Well, I think, as you mentioned, James was lived in the late 1800s. Watchman Nee mentioned that he was quite an ordinary brother. He didn't have too much education. He lived in the coal mining villages of Scotland. He was not that especially gifted or eloquent in his speaking, but he did have the spirit of the gospel, and I think it really kind of goes back to even his own salvation and his first experiences as a believer. Well, I'd like to recall, in the beginning here, Bill, the how James came to the Lord himself. It's kind of interesting, and maybe the experience of many other young brothers and sisters among us today, in that he knew so much in his mind. He had learned the scripture. He even memorized some verses. He testified that he could even tell you what is God's plan of salvation. He knew it in his head, but in his experience, he was still living as a lost sinner. And one thing that really came to him frequently was the question, what would happen if he would die? And he, of course, had to face this question. And I think the Holy Spirit was convicting him often. If I die, he said, I shall die without Christ. So he ran into a few accidents himself as he was growing up. He almost drowned twice, and he had a coal mining accident himself. But these things maybe shook him up a bit, but still did not bring him to salvation. It wasn't until his own father passed away that he was really confronted with death and with things eternal. And the Holy Spirit was able to use this. James said when he looked at his father's face as he was preparing for his burial, and right away he had the thought, if that had been him, you know, what would have happened? But this thought kept coming back, if I die as I am, I shall die without Christ. So the Spirit is really operating. I think this goes along with the, in the Gospels, it says the Spirit is sent to convict men and witness as a spirit of reality within man to bring ones to salvation.
That's right. No doubt, like you mentioned, twice he almost drowned. Another time he was in a coal mine accident and miraculously escaped when a roof caved in. And no doubt those things really worked on him and bothered him. And then when his father was killed in a coal mine cave-in, no doubt the Spirit convicted him even more that that could have been you. And you know that you have not met Christ yet, and you would perish for eternity without knowing Christ. So that played on his mind, his emotions, right, for days. Eventually, the Spirit, like you said, convicted him. You know, like this there in John chapter 16, the Lord talked about the Spirit convicting, right, the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. And no doubt that same Spirit was convicting James McKendrick, and eventually brought him to Christ, and he rejoiced. He had quite a dynamic salvation. And of course, one excellent characteristic of James is that right away he mentioned this to his friends. He was not ashamed to tell his friends, his buddies, about his experience of Christ. So immediately he began to bring others to Christ by his Spirit of the gospel.
Yeah, that point in particular is so impressive. You know, I think Watchman Nee made the point that it's very healthy as believers to begin right from the start to have a good confession and to speak of our salvation to others. And so actually it was, I think it was even the same night that James buried his father that he ran across his companions, and he began to tell them, yeah, what happened to him, how he himself got saved. And James said when he was speaking to his friend, tears of joy just ran down his face. And actually even his friend listening to him couldn't explain it, but tears start running down his face as well. And this was James' first experience of preaching the gospel, and this really encouraged him and gave him more confidence to speak. And the Lord honored it and actually brought this one, James' closest friend, brought him to the Lord. And then 2 weeks later, James had the joy of seeing another one of his companions brought to the Lord. And then these three together began to really earnestly pray for their other friends. And I think that was James' beginning. He found a real joy in prayer and in sowing the good seed.
That's really so, Marty. I wanted to kind of revisit this matter of the Spirit of the gospel. Brother Watchman Nee, he writes in his introduction, I have read the biographies of many evangelists, including, you know, Charles G. Finney, D.L. Moody, Billy Sunday, and others. They all had this spirit of gospel preaching, as well as the gift of gospel preaching. And then he says, with James McKendrick, he said James himself admittedly did not possess the gift of gospel preaching. Even he himself admitted, I don't have it like those other ones. Brother Nee says he merely had the spirit of gospel preaching. He said, just like you and I, he was an ordinary person. There was nothing special about him. However, since his heart was melted mm-hmm. by the Lord's love, he was extremely anxious for the needs of the sinners. Because of this, he could love and he could weep. Mm-hmm. He could pray and he could shout. Due to his deep love for the Lord, he could not refrain himself. The appeal of the need of the lost ones afflicted him day and night.
Well, James's experience was really something, and you'd have to say he really got the fire, the spirit of the gospel from the time of his salvation. And another experience that he testified of was maybe one of his first accounts of standing up to preach the gospel. I think some of the ones in the community began to realize that James and his friends had a real portion, a real heart for the Lord. And so one missionary brother who had been laboring there in that village for a while noticed James and his friends and asked them to help him. And so they went around knocking on the doors and inviting people to come to a special meeting. And James testified that when the meeting started, the place was packed out. And James said he stood close next to this missionary, but inwardly his soul was just on fire for the salvation of the people there. Mm-hmm. Of course, James testified that it wasn't his meeting, and so he had to listen to the missionary brother preach. And apparently his preaching was sound and all, it was okay as far as the truth goes, but James said he just was waiting for the brother to give a direct personal appeal and beseech the people to be saved. And of course didn't happen, and so eventually James, he gave this brother's coat sleeve a little gentle pull, and but the brother just kept preaching, and then James gave his coat sleeve another pull a little more forcibly, yeah. Until he finally he said, "What is it?" And James said, he asked him, will you stop and let me speak?" And so the brother spoke a few more words, and then he said, "Okay, now James McKendrick will now address you." And James said, when that happened, his mind just went completely blank. He was speechless. He didn't know what to say, but he said inwardly his soul was just on fire for the people's salvation. And so what happened was a flood of tears just came out of him, and he didn't know what to say, but eventually he told people, like, they were clinging to a decayed limb of a tree, and that limb was going to break, and that they would be unsaved if they were trusting in anything other than the Savior. So that was his first attempt at preaching the gospel. He himself testified it wasn't very perfect. It was really an imperfect attempt at preaching. But he said the tears were many, the words were few, but the results were marvelous. And the Holy Spirit just filled that place. And even the missionary brother, when he saw the Holy Spirit's presence and the power working in among the people, the missionary brother just starts shouting hallelujah. So I think that was quite an example of the spirit of the gospel that was operating in our brother James.
That's right. It reminds us, I think, of D.L. Moody's experience. Very uneducated, illiterate, difficult time with grammar, yet when people who were much more eloquent than D.L. Moody would try to say something, nothing happened. But when D.L. Moody, in his broken English, his misuse of language, when he would get up there and preach, the power of the Spirit was with him, and he brought hundreds of thousands of people to Christ as an illiterate one. Because I think James's McKendrick's testimony is that at 9.5 years of age, he ended up in a coal mine. So he did not have much education, but is a real testimony that even a young man, like, I think he was around 22 when he received the Lord, even such a young man could be used by the Lord with the spirit of the gospel, although not educated, that literate, that cultured, But yet he developed that gift, he developed that burden, that developed that fire, and it's a real testimony to us that even at such a young age, we can develop the gift that the Lord has given us, even though it may not be like Moody or Watchman Nee or someone like that. Yet if we're faithful to the Lord and faithful to develop what little gift the Lord has given us, the Lord can use us in his testimony.
Well, of course, Watchman Nee said that not too many gifted ones come along very often in the history of the church, and these are few and far between. But he mentioned that he felt every believer who loves the Lord can and even should have the spirit of the gospel. So this is really right. Something that we should all really consider before the Lord. And even Watchman Nee said, you know, this kind of spirit should burn in the church, that the church would not be a hindrance to others coming to the Lord to be saved, that the Lord has to burn in us if the spirit is ever to burn in the unbelievers in the world. So I was considering, right. Bill, a little bit at the end here, what is it? How can we really cultivate this kind of spirit of the gospel? I think from James McKendrick, we can learn, no doubt he prayed and he was in the Word. Mm-hmm. And no doubt he was a consecrated person. But I think one thing that touches me is that one other thing was that he really had a concern for people, and he got involved with people. He was right in the midst of people. He didn't kind of isolate himself. He had an intimate concern, right, for those around him.
Right. To Marty, Brother Watchman Nee was very, very wise and very discerning. And he realized, although that the Lord's, we know his economy is to have the church. And later, Brother Nee realized that the gospel preaching should be carried out by the church instead of great evangelistic missionaries. So Brother Nee was selecting, as he was reading through these biographies, he was very wise. He was not just picking up just different individuals and saying, this is how you do it. He was collecting all of the experiences of all the saints through the centuries, and that helped him realize that the God's purpose today, of course, is not like in the years before his time, where they had many great evangelists, mm-hmm, to do an individualistic work. But the Lord brought him to show him something on the corporate side, that every believer meeting properly as the church in the locality where they live, they should be, like you say, built together. They should be loving the Lord, praying with one another, seeking the Lord. Then eventually every member of the body of Christ should be a gospel preaching one, regardless of the gift that they have. And also, one last thing, I think, too, it's very very important to realize that, of course, the gospel that James McKendrick preached, of course, compared to what we have today of God's full salvation and the body life and God's economy, it could not match what Brother Nee saw and these other ones. So we have to realize that a number of times in this publication mentions, mm-hmm, about the matter of hell and heaven. And, of course, that's not the gospel that we share today, because we have received much more light. Of course, by preaching the gospel, surely we can get people, right, out of hell and eternal perdition. But, of course, the goal for that is not to bring people to heaven. You know, that is a part of the leaven, you know, that came into the church life over the centuries, but that we still need the fire and the spirit of the gospel to bring people to Christ, and that eventually they would be built up into a local expression, a local testimony of the body of Christ.
Well, Bill, I appreciate again the time today. I think we'll conclude here. I'd just like to encourage the listeners, if there's any way, if they can go online and maybe find a used copy of this book, the book you mentioned, Seen and Heard by James McKendrick. It's a very valuable testimony to read, to really see how a brother can be a pattern to us all, that we could all learn to have an intimate concern for others and exercise to have the spirit of the gospel as we labor together for the building up of the body of Christ today. So I think we'll sign off here, Bill. I appreciate it, and we'll connect again next time.